Good evening, young disciples. How good is God? Amen. One very brief point of order tonight. One very brief lesson, request, exhortation that an opportunity for a decision and an opportunity for you to share what God has done in your life, in your heart. Have you had a blessed day today?
Yes,
amen. Have you had a blessed week?
Yes, sir.
I have to tell you that it has been among the highlights of my life to spend this week with you, to share with you, to work for you, to serve you. And it is my prayer and it is my hope that this will not be the last time. In fact, we're family now. And it is my prayer and it is my hope that even from this place, how many of you are going home tomorrow? Okay, it is to you that I'm speaking most specifically tonight, because for the rest of us, the journey will continue a little bit longer. But to you who are going home tomorrow, I have this hope burning in my heart that you will not let go of this experience, and that if there is any, that if there was ever any way in which I can serve you, ever any time at which I can wash your feet in a figurative sense, I long to do that. Because my joy comes from serving. And because I have found a satisfaction and a fulfillment in holding the hand of Almighty God that I deeply long to share with the world around me. I cannot be happy. I cannot be satisfied with either happiness or satisfaction unless those things are shared, because I live in a broken world. So if there is ever any a time that I can wash your feet, if there is ever any a time that I can serve you, I hope you will reach out. My email address is extremely easy to remember. It is my name, first and last, at Gmail. Drop me a note. Drop me a line. Reach out. If you just need someone to pray for you, let that someone, among others, be me. I would love to serve you. Tonight, the difference between a Christian and a criminal.
How do you spell your last name?
N-E-B-B-L-E, as in literature evangelist, T-T. N-E-B-B-L-E-T-T. My first name is S-E-A-N. The difference between a Christian and a criminal and what you were born to be. I told this group last year something that I fully and freely believe, and that is that God has predestined you for great things. That you were born to climb higher mountains than the last generation dreamed existed. I hope, I pray, I trust with every fiber in me that you've heard that calling and that you are prepared to answer. If you have been ransomed from sin, if you have gained a vision of that which is possible, if you have gained a confidence, if you have gained a courage, if you have gained some sort of comfort, you've gained those things for one reason. God makes his children strong so he can put a sword in their hand and send them straight back into darkness where they came from. Do you know why? Because if I have spent my whole life in jail, I know where all the doors are. If God has delivered you from something, from fear or anything else, the purpose of God is that you should be not just made free to roam and do and be. He wants you to save. And when you are cooperating with the process of saving, this is when you will be fully alive. There is only one very subtle difference between a Christian and a criminal. You will find them both in the bottom of deepest dungeon with fingers wrapped around iron bars, shaking for all they're worth. You will find them both throwing their weight against steel, rattling, pushing, pulling, shoving, time and time again, even if the door does not seem to move. You will hear their cries echo down long stone corridors, dripping and slimy with moss. There's only one difference between them. They're on opposite sides of the door. If you have been made free, you've been made free for a purpose. That purpose is grander and far more glorious than you can possibly imagine until you taste it. My friends, we unconditionally belong. Once a son or daughter of God, always a son or daughter of God. We unconditionally belong to none other than unconditional love, which gives us unconditional hope and a whole other string of beautiful unconditional things. Ending this morning with a grasp onto unconditional power in the promises of God. And we found out this morning that the thing waiting to be, the line waiting to be crossed, is burial. Because if we are hid with Christ in God, not only are we safe from the tempter and we spring up to bear fruit and we create a harvest for the next generation, but our record is replaced with his record, and we can face the King in his glory with perfect confidence and perfect peace. That is what I covet for each of you. So I want to make a deal. Some of you are going home tomorrow. Remember that we're family. If you have access to internet, keep listening on the live stream because we're going to finish what we've begun. And even if I never see you on planet Earth again, I want to have the confidence that I'll get to spend eternity with you finishing the friendship that we've begun here. I'm serious when I say I long to hear your stories. I'm serious when I say I would love to spend the rest of our forever laughing together. I'm serious when I say that I will share the tears of Christ if there are any missing in the first 1,000 years. So I want to make an appointment on the first Sabbath in heaven at gate 11, wherever that is. Let all the young disciples say amen. Amen. Let's be there. In a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to testify to the goodness of God or testify to the call of God to your soul. But before you do that, I want to make one request. I want to give one opportunity for a corporate expression of togetherness and of submission to our holy God. I was going to sing a song for you tonight, which is one of the songs that I sang last year and is among my favorite songs, but as I was just now up in the camper thinking and praying about it, I thought, no, not that one. I'm going to sing My Redeemer is Faithful and True again. Only this time, when we get to the last chorus, I want you to sing it with me. Only this time, while I sing, I want you to close your eyes and ask yourself whether God has been proven true this week through his word. That's question number one. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head while you listen, because I don't want you worrying about what your neighbor's thinking or being your neighbor's conscience or getting distracted by anything else. I want you to ask yourself this one serious question and answer it honestly. Has God proven himself true this week? If the answer is yes, the second question I want you to ask yourself is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If God has proven himself true, if he has shown you that he is indeed love, he is indeed trustworthy, he is indeed powerful, and he is indeed ready to not only take our messed upness, but replace it with his own beautiful person, his own beautiful life, his own transforming grace, his own abundant power, and you say, I want to entirely submit myself to that kind of love, then while I'm singing and you have your eyes closed and your head bowed, I want you to join me down here. When we're done singing, we'll pray together. And when we're done praying together, then we will move into hearing how God has worked in your heart and mind. Are those instructions clear? I'm going to sing you a song. There is no song that I can think of that in better words represents my conviction about the Lord of glory. My Redeemer is faithful and true. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head while I sing and ask yourself the question, has God proven himself faithful? That's question number one. And you might get stuck there and still not know. That's okay. That's okay. This is not the last day of salvation. It is the day of salvation. Could be your last day of salvation, but I'm not promising it is. I want you to close your eyes and think. Answer that one question. Is God or isn't God? Has he or has he not proven himself faithful? If he has proven himself faithful, the question that follows immediately after that is, what am I going to do? We have learned that in order to participate in these beautiful blessings, we have to be buried. If God has proven himself faithful, if he is loving, if he is trustworthy, and you have decided that above all else, your heart is unconditionally his, then I want you to join me down here, and we'll pray together.
As I look back on this road of travel, I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer's faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything he hath said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He hath said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He's proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, more grace He gives to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He hath said, He will do. And every morning mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Join me here.
My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Come on, crowding close. Holy Father, I've brought some friends tonight. And together we want to say thank you for making peace and freedom and quiet confidence possible in the world in which we live. Today we want to say thank you that you never, ever, ever, ever change, that you've never changed. And that you're opening up your hands to us and saying, here is my unchangeableness. You can have it. It can be yours. May we remember this night. May we stand together. May we pray for each other. May we fully and freely understand what it is, what it means to become a child of God. And may we be willing to lay down everything for the hand nailed to the cross for us. Thank you for choosing us. We choose you tonight.